second here. So, for you guys who's been following, I've been doing I did a series. I just finished up a series, and I'm starting a new series. This new series is So What the Church Isn't Perfect. And today I'm gonna spend a few minutes. I'm gonna just hit on today. My segment is gonna be Can't Get Right. And I'm renting out this basement apartment, beautiful, in this beautiful house in the middle of nowhere in Colorado. And the stipulations of this basement apartment is my landlord has a old dog. I don't remember what breed it is, but it's an old dog, old smart dog, old smart hunting dog actually. And the stipulations, the only stipulation renting out this beautiful basement apartment is the way that this old house was designed. The doggy door is for in order for the dog to go outside into the backyard, he has to come downstairs through his doggy door and go out to the backyard. Now, I have a patio door and my landlord has a patio door. And if my, you know, during, I don't, I'm not, I'm here during the day and my landlord's not here during the day. And so when my landlord's not here, the dog has to go down through our place. And one of the things the dog does is he steals food. Sometimes I don't even know how he gets to some of the food because I hide it and I put it away. But one of the things he does is steals food, and he's crafty and real good at stealing food. He's one of those dogs. Kind of reminds me of Old Yeller. I'm telling my age now. A lot of you young folks, none of you, a lot of you millennials don't know nothing about that classic Disney movie, Old Yeller. But kind of reminds me of Old Yeller, how he used to, when he was with the family, he never really did anything bad, but he'll go out and creep out at night and steal from everybody else. This kind of how this dog Buddy is. But no matter, like you, no matter if you yell at this dog, throw something at him. I mean, if I'm here, he ain't, you know, and he waits, like he literally waits and listens, like for to hear me leaving, to hear me and my daughter leaving. So he knows exactly when we're leaving and when we're not around, because when we're not here, that's when he comes and tries to steal stuff. So it's so no matter what you do to this dog, he's still gonna steal. And but outside of the dog stealing, the dog's a pretty cool dog, but he has issues. And I share that story because sometimes I'm not gonna try to be politically correct anymore. I'm just gonna say it. You know, in the church and in life, there are people that just can't get right. It just in your eyes are not just gonna get right, especially in the church. And when I think about those kind of people, you know, sometimes in our eyes, it could be that we can't, that they just can't get right. One of my favorite movies, all-time classic movies, is Life with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence. And one of the main characters in there, what's up, Tim? One of the main characters, one of the characters in there, not the main character, one of the characters in there that actually, you know, was a scene stealer, was the guy that played the character called Can't Get Right. And Can't Get Right was a mute, and they called him Can't Get Right because he was a mute. This guy was by far not stupid. Matter of fact, he can hit the ball out of the park. But I'm gonna share more on that on my on my next segment in my podcast. But I say that to say this, we sometimes get in this mindset as Christians is that that I'm here at the church to fix everybody and fix everything. And that's not our job. That's not our job, and we need to stop doing that. God is the only one that can fix somebody. You could grow up in the church, or you could just start going to church when you get older, and you start to change and do things, but you're going to have to do that change on your own. And people are going to have to do that change on their own. And only we cannot change anybody. Only God can change people. So we need to stop focusing on trying to fix everybody that can't get right and focus on, are we right and can we get right? And I think about the Serenity Prayer when I think about when you see people in life that you like, man, they just can't get right. You know, it's that person that's probably just always doing something, is always in some drama, or always in and out of jail, or always getting into some trouble, always doing something. Or that person in the church is always causing havoc. You know, they're going to be like that. They're not going to change. Only way they change is they allow God to change them. And some people just won't. Some people will never let God allow them to change them. And we got to accept that. And as I close, I'm going to read the Serenity Prayer to you, because that's what comes to mind when I think about just can't get right, just not able to get things right. And the Serenity Prayer says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. When I think, I mean, that prayer has been speaking to me all my life, and sometimes I have to call myself out on that, and especially with dealing with people that are close to you and people that you love, and you be like, man, are they ever gonna, you know, straighten up? Are they ever gonna stop, you know, causing problems? No, they're not, and you just gotta accept it, and you gotta accept who they are, and you just gotta love on them. And that's what we got to do. We got to accept it. And we got to accept the things that we cannot change. And you got to be able to have the courage when God opens up that door for you to make a change. And he will. Either he's going to open up the door for you to make a change, or he's going to open up a door. Hey, Edie, how you doing? Or he's going to open up a door for you to change somebody else. And I love the last part of the Serenity Prayer when it says, and wisdom to know the difference. You gotta be wise and know the difference between when God is telling you to make a change, or he's opening up a door for you to help change somebody else's life. You got to be wise, and you got to pay attention to those things. You got to pay attention to what God is trying to reveal to you. So with closing, just a little encouragement is to accept the things that you cannot change and have the courage to change the things that you can. And have the wisdom to know when and when not to do these things. So that's my little nugget, little 2 cents of faith. Again, I apologize for Friday. If you guys want to catch. Oh, yo, yo, yo. Hey, this your boy Sal. Giving you a few nuggets today. 2 cents of faith. You know, I didn't do any notes for this one, so bear with me. And there was a reason why I didn't really do any notes or have any scripture Because I was just felt it was something I felt led to do. And today I'm gonna talk about spiritual lockdown. And I'm gonna jump right into it. I reference for you guys, for those that missed out, go back and I started a new series called So What? The Church Isn't Perfect. And yesterday was the first segment of that series. And the idea for the title was I referenced one of my favorite comedy movies with Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy called Life. And there's a character in there called Can't Get Right. And I referenced in my podcast yesterday about I touched a little bit on the character Can't Get Right. And I said I was gonna come back to it today. And it's funny how God works when you I say this all the time. It's just amazing how God works and how He puts everything in order for you. Because all this is spirit led. And I was just gonna use Can't Get Right for just that example yesterday. And during the time I was speaking on it, God told me to use this. But I'm rambling. Let me go ahead and dive into it. So the character Can't Get Right. He's a mute, and he couldn't talk really at all. But and so that's why they called him Can't Get Right. Because he couldn't talk, and but he wasn't dumb. He wasn't dumb at all. And in the movie, the characters that Martin Lawrence and Martin Lawrence played Claude. And kind of if you know the movie, that what I just did is kind of comical. So his name is Claude, and Eddie played a guy named Ray. And Ray and Claude, their whole background, they just ended up doing time together, long story short. And they didn't know each other, but they came to know each other because they both came in at the same time from the same place. So, in the later on in the movie, the character Can't Get Right gets shipped into the prison, and Ray and Claude found out that he can hit the ball. He can hit. And Claude was a huge baseball fan. He was big. He was big on baseball. That was his thing. Baseball is his thing. So Claude and Ray took Can't Get Right under their arms and practice with him and helped him perfect and hit the ball and become a great baseball player. And they what they would do is they would have a big game, and whoever, against another prison, and then whoever won the game get a big, they roast a pig for them, and they get a big dinner, pretty much, out of the ordinary dinner. And so they got Can't Get Right doing that game. There was a scout, and the scout came and saw Can't Get Right, and offered Can't Get Right a deal, and Ray and Claude, as they talked to him, it's like, hey, you get him a deal, we helped him get to this point, we helped him, do this and that, and like if you could put a word in for us too. And the guy's like, well, I'll see what he can do. Sometime later, he came back to he was able to get a contract for Can't Get Right. And Ray and Claude was really upset that the scout didn't didn't take them. And they was highly upset. And one of the things that the scout said to them, because they told the scout, that they wanted Can't Get Right to play in the majors. They wanted the best for Can't Get Right. And the scout repeated that. He's like, "This is what you guys wanted, right? You wanted him to make it to the majors." And they was like, "Yeah, that's right, you right, but they were still furious about it. And I thought about that because sometimes I think when I think about when you're in that spirit, and when you're in that spiritual, you get in that spiritual lockdown, and now referring to leadership and pastors, and I've seen it happen to pastors, and I witnessed it firsthand of how you pour into people, and then somebody comes and offers them to come do something at their church or in their organization. And a lot of people get like that sometimes in the church. And he's like, "Oh, I did all this work, I put all this into them, and they go over here and take their talents to South Beach." And sometimes, and I was, I always thought about that, like, why does that happen and things of that sort. And then I think about what the guy said to Ray and Claude, is like, that's what you wanted, right? And sometimes we gotta realize that too, is that's what sometimes we forget about that. And yeah, sometimes we forget, sorry about that. Sometimes we forget about that. I thought I turned that off. Sometimes we forget about the purpose. Because we have poured so much into people, and sometimes, as leaders and as pastors, you get stuck. You get locked in this on what I call a spiritual prison, because you're trying to work and trying to get, trying to do what God calls you to do and plant seeds and bring up leaders, and then you don't see any grow in your own congregation. You see everybody start to leave and start to go and do other things and bigger and better things. And you're looking at it like, what am I doing wrong? And sometimes it's not that you're doing anything wrong. You can have all the right pieces, and it just wasn't meant. I'll put it this way. I've been working on my car. And I changed the, I said, I brought a thermostat for my car. And this car is fairly new to me. I never really worked on this type of on this particular vehicle before. But I've changed thermostats in quite a few of my cars. And the thermostat is just, and the thermostat is probably one of the cheapest parts and easiest parts to install. But what happens is the way they build some, the way they put, what they do is they put the thermostat, it has a thermostat housing. And sometimes on the cars, the manufacturers will put the housing some on somewhere around the engine. Sometimes it's easy to get to, sometimes it's hard to get to. And I was thinking when I was working on the car, I was thinking about that spiritual lockdown. And sometimes when we're on lockdown, people don't realize that the church goes through seasons too, goes through spiritual battles too. Everybody talks about their spiritual battles and their storms and things of that sort. But the church also goes through storms and spiritual battles. And sometimes, like I'm saying, I've replaced a thermostat on a few of my cars, and the majority of the cars that I replaced the thermostat on, it was easy. It takes probably 5 to 10 minutes to do. You know, take the housing off and pull out pull out the thermostat, put the new one in, put the housing back on, and you're done. This particular vehicle, dang Chevys, the one I was working on today, I mean yesterday, and then a little bit this morning, the only thing I do now is tighten up some stuff. But, you know, I said, you know, it's cool. It's in cool down in Denver. It's not as hot. You know, it was real cool yesterday. It was nice. Really nice. Like I said, I'm gonna take some time and I'm gonna do this thermostat. And you know, I was like, I should knock it out before, you know, because my daughter wanted to go visit family. And I was like, I got time to do that before I take her. And this job took longer than what I thought. You know, I YouTubed it. I was like, okay, I gotta take all this off. You know, so I did all that prior to getting down to taking out the housing. These bolts where the housing are, where they put this housing is so difficult to get to the bolts. And I had all the right tools. I even went yesterday and got some more tools to see if I can make the job faster. And while I was doing that, you know, God spoke to me and it hit me. When we're in that spiritual lockdown and we're going, sometimes we, you know, as leaders and pastors, sometimes we still have things that we gotta get out. There's still things that we gotta maneuver through to get out of that rut. And I was thinking about that because, you know, it was just one of those jobs where no matter if you had the right or wrong tools, it's just a tedious job. It's just hard. It's just a hard job. It's hard to get the housing off and get the thermostat on, put it back on, and then put the housing back on. It's nerve-wracking. And sometimes we go through that in our, you know, our spiritual walk, and we go through that as a unit, as a church unit, when we go through those storms. Sometimes the problem will be right at the top and it's easy to fix, and then sometimes it's stuck under a whole bunch of wire and hoses and hard to get to, and you gotta slowly work through it and work it out and tinker and do the tedious things to get things right. And sometimes we forget that and we allow ourselves to get in a spiritual lockdown. And then we start to point fingers and we start to look at things in a different way. You know, like Ray and Claude did. They looked at their whole situation with what can't get right. As you know, that was their way out. That was their way out of the storm. And sometimes as pastors and as leaders, sometimes, you know, those people we pour into when they go off and do other things, sometimes we get upset because you're like, hey, man, I did all this. And you realize what you have to. And sometimes you don't realize, like, hey, you know, I had the wrong motive. You know, I did exactly what God wanted me to do. And, you know, maybe I gotta, in order for my church to get better, in order for me to be a better leader, maybe I gotta work some things out to get that housing off and to fix things. So I hope that makes sense, what I was trying to say as far as spiritual lockdown and getting out of it. You know, sometimes we just gotta do the dirty work. You know, society has painted this picture that Christians and the church have this easy life and things are always going to be easy. That's not true, because we're human and the church is not perfect and people are not perfect. And so what? We're not perfect. And so what? The church is not perfect. As long as we're working to get to that point, that's all that matters. And sometimes that's up there. It's up. The fix is easy, and sometimes the fix is hard. Sometimes you got to go through some things to get things right. So, you know, that's my nugget today. A little 2 cents of faith. I hope you guys got it. on being spiritual lockdown. I might do a part two on spiritual lockdown. But in order to get out of that rut and out of that lockdown, you have to be able to work on yourself. You have to be able to look at yourself and look at, hey, there's people that serve like, man, I've been doing this and I've been setting up and I've been cooking meals and sending stuff to people and praying for people, and I haven't seen none of that, man. I don't have, the pastor doesn't recognize me. So what? Do what God has told you to do and work through your stuff and work through the things of the church. The church is not perfect. The church, there's a, people see these big churches and mega churches, they all started somewhere and they all had some hard things to go through, some things to push through. And people got, non-believers and Christians and leadership and pastors, we all have to look at that and understand that sometimes it's not gonna always be pretty. So I'll close with that. Everybody have a blessed day. Man, this was a hard one. Don't allow yourself to be spiritually locked down. This is your boy Sale, and I'm out. Hey, how's everybody doing? It's your boy Sale. Continuing this series on So What, the Church Is Not Perfect. I got a question. Have you guys ever been driving and you've just been driving along and you know where you're going, you know exactly where you're going and where you need to go, and then you either get into your music or you get into a phone call or you just get lost in your thoughts and you miss your turn? Either your exit. If you're driving on the highway, you miss your turn on the road, or you on the highway and you miss your exit. And then you're like, oh shoot, oh man, I'll miss my turn. Now I gotta turn around. I gotta turn all the way around and go back. And for some people, it might make them even madder, because like, oh man, for people that are real anal about their miles and their gas mileage, some people really get mad when they miss that turn. Like, oh man, shoot, I ain't gotta drive some extra miles and waste a little bit of gas. I missed my dang turn. Did you guys know that pastors and church leadership sometimes miss the turn too? Did y'all know that? And I want to talk about that today, because sometimes there's just a whole lot of pressure on church and church leadership, and people put church leadership and pastors so high on the pedestal that they forget they're human too. And the church do that. Sometimes the church will make a wrong turn, and sometimes, not sometimes, a lot of times when churches make the wrong turn, they get ridiculed, they get bashed, it's just all kinds of negative. But it happens. I mean, it's just a part of life. Just like, you're driving and you know where you're going. You could be on your way home. You know your way home. You go there every day, every night, every time you go to work, every time you leave, you know how to get home. Sometimes you just miss that turn that you usually take to go home. I want to read to you in Deuteronomy chapter 2. I'm going to just read a couple of verses to you and give you a little background. Moses and his crew has been going around just following God, just wherever God leads them. Moses and his crew has been going and going strong. And so in second, in Deuteronomy 2, I'll just read a couple of verses. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, starting with verse 1, says, "Then we turned back and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea, as the Lord directed me. For a long time, we made our way around the hill country of Sire. Sire. I'm sorry. Having a hard time pronouncing that. Then the Lord said to me, "You have made your way around this hill country long enough now. Turn north." So Moses and his crew, they turned back and went the route and went toward the Red Sea like the Lord directed them to do. And they were doing it. And they did it for a long time. And sometimes, churches and church leadership, they get a direction from God. And sometimes they stay stuck in that one direction and they just keep going in that one direction. And sometimes they realize it right away, and some people never realize it. In this situation, Moses and his crew, they were just going because God told them to go. And God finally was like, "Hey, yo, y'all been doing this route way too long. Where are y'all going? Turn around." God told him to turn around and go toward the hill. Like, you guys, he's like, "Man, turn around and go north. Like, you guys been going around this hill way too long." And sometimes that's how it is with church and church leadership. Sometimes we get a direction and we're like, okay, we think we're going in the right direction because God told us to. And God was like, "Man, God is like, you're only supposed to be going on this road for a short time, and then you're supposed to turn off. Like, you missed your turn, man. You gotta turn around and go back. You gotta turn around and go back north now." And that's how we are sometimes. And a lot of unbelievers and a lot of people in the church that don't understand or don't want to realize that pastors and church leadership are human beings too, and they are not perfect. And they're gonna make mistakes, and sometimes they're gonna miss the turn, guys. They're gonna miss the turn, and you got to be able to, as a church member, to be able to be loyal and stand. And now, some situations, like I was saying, some situations, I got to put this out there. Some situations, you just got to leave. You just got to go, cause they just ain't gonna get right. Some church leadership and some pastors just ain't gonna get right. But if you are the pastor and you know that pastor and this in the leadership gonna turn this, they're really listening to God and they're gonna turn this thing around, stick with them. Hold it out. Wait a little bit. I've seen that happen in organizations and churches that I've been involved with. It just recently happened with our church. The church I'm with now just recently happened. Like, I mean, literally, like, within the last couple of weeks. Pastor was like, "Hey, I realize this, this, and this. We gotta turn around and go the other way." And that's how it is sometimes. Sometimes you just gotta listen to God and recognize what's going on. And I drive for a living, and as I close here, I drive for a living. And some of my driving buddies, we talk about what we call autopilot. And what we mean by when we say autopilot is like when we get it's we call it a zone. We call some people may call it a zone, but we call this particular zone autopilot, because this is something that you're doing every day. When you have a route, you're doing a routine, you have a route. And sometimes, like these last couple of weeks, man, I've been doing extra routes because it's just been busy. So I've been doing extra routes, and fatigue sets in and you get tired. And what we call autopilot is when your mind and when our mind and our body takes over and just gets us there. And it's like, we're in the zone, like we don't even realize, we're just going and our mind and our body is just taking us to where we need to go because it's routine. Sometimes as church leadership and as churches, we take that autopilot off, and I want to use the autopilot as God just directing us and taking the lead. Sometimes we end up taking the wrong turn because we turn off that autopilot, which is God, and we get distracted and we miss our turn. But when you're on autopilot, you can't miss your turn. You're not going to miss your turn because everything is already automatic. Your body's already going to do it. Your mind's already going to do it. God's already going to instruct you. And I've learned that not just driving for a living, but driving, period. Is that, will you really ask God to give you direction? I mean, He'll give you direction in every aspect of life. I'm just using driving as an example as I close here. And there's been times where I remember before I started driving, and I was driving through the Rock, not the Rocky Mountains, Smoky Mountains, going through Carolina and all that stuff. And I remember it was like 1 or 2 in the morning, and I remember driving through the Smoky Mountains, and I remember that's all I remember turning the curve, going up the mountain, and I remember the next thing I remember it was daytime, and I was still driving. And it's crazy how, sometimes we don't want to go into autopilot because we're afraid that we might crash, or we're afraid that we might hit something. But God is our autopilot, and you don't be afraid to have God put it in autopilot and let God go. As I close, I just want to encourage for those non-believers and those in the church that don't want to encourage or put pastors and leadership on this pedestal as if they're just super perfect people and they make no mistakes. Stop doing that and encourage and be positive, because the church can make a wrong turn. We can make wrong turns because we get distracted, and sometimes we are afraid to continue to let God be that autopilot. But like Moses did, he had to, God, finally told him, like, hey, turn around, go north. Sometimes we got to do that. God bless. This is your boy Sale, 2 cents of faith. Have a blessed day. Yo, 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 good morning. Or afternoon, or what time, whatever time it is, where that if you're listening. Hey, it's been a long time. Feels like a long time since I've done one, because took some time off, took a little vacation and everything. But I want to thank everybody for listening to the last series and this series. I have gotten a lot more listeners during these last two series. So I want to say thank you to everybody that's been listening. Today I want to continue and kind of finish up for now my series called the series that I have that we're doing right now at the moment. And it's interesting. This one's going to be interesting. I'm going to try to jump right into it. So, old saying I used to hear all the time, and there was actually a song also, that goes along with it. And the saying is, God uses ordinary people, and that's true. And have you guys, and I just, I come to realize over the years that I've grew up being in the church, and the years that I've done ministry, is that sometimes we as people don't apply that to church leadership or church pastors. They become out of the norm, or how should I say? They just become not ordinary. They're not looked at as ordinary people. They're not looked at as people that have struggles, that have issues, that have normal things that people struggle with. People tend to put pastors and people in leadership in this bottle, and I get it because pastors and leadership are held and are to be held accountable and held to a higher standard because they did accept the calling. But at the same time, they're still human. And a lot of people don't want to accept that because they're looking to the pastor or the leadership of the church as a cure-all. I'm gonna go to church because I know pastor so-and-so in his church is gonna help me get better, and they're gonna help me with my bills, and they're just gonna solve all my problems. And the reality is that the only person that can solve your problems and cure you of whatever you're dealing with, or help you get through whatever you're dealing with, is yourself. And I'm gonna talk a lot about the doing. I'm gonna do be starting a new series called Faith Over Powers, and I'm gonna talk a lot about that and how you could claim things and how you could change things in your life and how you are held accountable for things in your life. And I'm going to talk about that has to do a little bit with this segment today. I'm going to talk about how we collectively as a group, when we come together in faith as a group, we are able to, as leaders and as pastors, we are able to help heal a person or help a person get through something. It is not a one-man show. It's not, and for example, for healing, I'm gonna just touch on this for a second, and I'm not gonna get too far off, but with healing, a lot of people don't realize, or it's not taught, that healing is a team effort. If you're the person asking to be healed, you're not going to be healed if you don't believe and if you don't have the faith in yourself that you are healed and that you can be healed. Leadership and pastors and people of faith can speak in tongues and do all the crazy stuff that you see or that you think is supposed to be done to be healed, but you're not going to be healed unless you believe. And getting back to the topic at hand here, when it comes to pastors and leadership, you have to come, when you come to church and when you come ready to serve, you have to come in the mindset that, hey, this person is an average, ordinary person. He has the same, he deals, might not be the same issues, but this person deal with the same stuff that everybody else is coming to the church to get cured from or get healed from. This person is dealing with. And from my personal experience, when I was a youth pastor, during those years I was a youth pastor and I was in deep in ministry, and I was in training to be a pastor, I remember getting attacked more on the spiritual realm, far as demons and things of that sort. And a lot of pastors and leadership don't speak on that either, but you are attacked as a leader and as a pastor, you're attacked way more than a person that is not on leadership, or a person that is not in the faith, or a person that is new to the faith. We have a lot of you did de we deal with a lot of struggles within, you know, and you're attacked more, and you're fighting, and your battle is a lot harder than what people think. The only reason you don't hear about it a lot is because leadership and pastors and leadership, true pastors and true leaderships with true leaderships, you don't hear a lot about it because they are covered. You're covered, but at the same time, you're still human, so you're gonna deal with that. There's pastors out there that deal, you know, the big thing that people always quick to point out is the pastors that lust after things like money and sex and things of that sort. But you don't hear about the pastor that overcame depression and overcame a drug habit, you know, things of that sort. You know, there are pastors and leaders in the church that actually dealt with these things, and that's why God uses them. God uses ordinary people to reach people that are struggling and that are dealing with those things. And sometimes we forget that as Christians and as non-believers, we forget that, hey, the pastor is an ordinary person too. Pastors and leadership are ordinary people, guys. And you have to start looking at, I'm not saying look over their faults and their judgment and the things that they do and say. What I'm saying is be able to look at things at a different perspective. Better yet, look at things from a godly perspective and look at things from a God perspective, and looking at that pastor or that person in leadership saying, hey, they're just an ordinary person. They need prayer and they need healing and they need help just as much as I do. The only thing that separates them from me is that they accept the calling and they are willing to step in the trenches and do the dirty work that needs to be done so I can be saved. But pastors and church leadership are ordinary people. This is your boy Sale, Two Cents of Faith. Tune in Friday. I go back from doing my go back to doing my Friday morning Facebook Live, and I'm going to start my new series, Faith Overpowers. And I'm going to start that series Friday. I'm going to do a couple of, probably do a couple of more podcasts in between. But this is your boy, Sale. This is Two Cents of Faith. God bless. Have a good day.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.